It's all about power. Who has it? What does it look like? And how is it executed? On this feast day of Christ the King, power is today's subject of sermon. Now, on October 31st, 1922, Benito Mussolini, in his black shirts, marched into Rome. Mussolini was a fascist, meaning someone who claims to speak for an entire nation or a group of people, someone who is unconcerned about the rights of others and is willing to use violence and other means to meet his own goals. Installing fear among the people and terrorism among his political opponents, Mussolini eventually took hold of national power. Capitalizing on public discontent and economic stability, he was able to take hold of national power. Capitalizing on this public discontent and economic instability, Mussolini declared that he, and only he, could restore order. And so he eventually arose to the position of Prime Minister of Italy. He promised to make Italy great again. And it was he who first coined the phrase, "I am going to drain the swamp." And to his credit, he carried out an extensive public work system that employed many people. And because he reduced unemployment, he became very popular among the people. But in his efforts to drain the swamp, he fired over 35,000 civil servants. And he eventually dismantled all the democratic institutions in the country. By 1925, he was declared a dictator of Italy, and he called himself Il Duce, which means the leader. So it was into this context of unbridled secularism, nationalism, and authoritarianism that Pope Pius XI instituted the feast day of Christ the King. And it was hoped that something like instituting this feast day would give Christians the courage and the strength to face the challenges of their day and to remind them that Christ the King must be the only one reigning in their hearts, mind, bodies, and souls. And so today, as our country and our world face similar challenges, we, the faithful, must be reminded where our true allegiance belongs. First, Christ the King does not rule our hearts, inform our politics, or teach us about the right use of power, then we will repeat history once again. In summary, either we embrace the mind of Christ or we repeat the past. The choice is always ours. Now, since between, I'll say about 6,000 years ago, when earlier civilizations were just being born, they were encompassed or seeped in a kind of particular meta-movement, a dominant way of thinking and acting where power is hoarded, money is loved, tribalism is honored, the poor are oppressed, the marginalized are discriminated against, and the cycle of violence continues. In this world, many are vying to become the winners, you know, bragging about their superiority and seeking top positions, saying, "Look at me, look at how great I am. I have more toys than you do." We call this way of walking in the world the old humanity. While the old humanity seems to work for those who are at the top, it is life depleting for those who are at the bottom. The United States now has more wealth and income inequality than in any other time in the last 100 years. This year alone, this is the most amazing thing, 3 multi-billionaires have more wealth than 50% of the American population. So 3 people have more than 160 million people when it comes to wealth. Today, half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck, while millions of others struggle with starvation wages. And despite a lifetime of work, half of older Americans have no savings and no idea of how they are going to retire in dignity. This old humanity still operates in our political system on both sides of the aisle. Instead of being courageous and willing to speak up on important issues, most candidates avoid those difficult topics, and instead, when asked about them, they veer off into another area and give pat answers that have been vetted, thoroughly constructed, and rehearsed in detail. It seems that most of the candidates are interested in being reelected rather than working for the good of the Commonwealth. You know exactly what I mean if you have ever witnessed any of these political debates. And it's pretty depressing. Even religious leaders can fall into the temptation of being part of this old humanity by trying to be kind of a superhero or a popular people pleaser. And on the personal level, many of us still respond to conflict and difficulties and quarrels and rejection with harsh, aggressive words, coming from that place of hurt and anger. Forgiveness and humility are often absent during these stressful times. Overcoming this old humanity, this dominant way of thinking, where me, myself, and I is at the center, is what today's readings from the Holy Scriptures try to expose and repudiate. In Jeremiah, the prophet severely criticizes the leadership of his time for their self-serving ways. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter my sheep. You have driven them away and have not attended to them." And so after he begins with that, trying to expose them, he then lays out a vision for a new humanity, a way of walking in the world where justice and righteousness become the operating characteristic of leadership. Now, we Christians believe that Jesus is that promised leader, that righteous branch who will deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. We believe that Jesus is our spiritual leader, our king, whose ministries and words reflect the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. In today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is mocked as King of the Jews as he hangs on the cross, between two criminals. And instead of calling down insults to those who persecute him, instead of using his power in order to stop and retaliate, he simply says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus was such a powerful leader who sacrificed his life for the good of all people. In his brief ministry, he preached good news to the poor, lifted up the lowly, healed the sick, embraced the untouchables, gave hope to the downtrodden, and welcomed the lost, the lonely, and the left behind. This was a humble man who knelt down with a towel to wash the feet of his disciples. And he ended his life not wearing a crown of jewels, but rather a crown of thorns. This is the template for the new humanity. Jesus was our spiritual leader who turned the conventional wisdom of his day upside down, which is ultimately why he was executed. He blessed the poor and the meek, the persecuted, and told them that they were loved rather than blame them for their condition. Instead of promoting war and violence, he spoke about forgiveness and turning the other cheek. He broke the gender barrier by talking to women and included them as friends and disciples. Jesus had such empathy for the hungry and the poor and the prisoner that he encouraged all his followers to show compassion on these unfortunate ones. His mandate, to show radical love to one another, is what it means to have allegiance to Christ the King. Our nation is now in a crisis, both politically and spiritually. The anger, the division, the lack of civil discourse has increased exponentially in recent times. And instead of working together for the common good, showing compassion for all of God's creatures, many are focused on grabbing power, winning at all costs, and discriminating against those on the margins. The moral compass of our country is at an all-time low, and that spirit of nastiness is infecting all our citizens. So what are we to do? There are significant moments in human history when a renewed and powerful cry for justice and righteousness is called for. That time is now. The time is now for us to act from a place of spirit and from a place of self-sacrifice. The time is now for us to speak truth to power and to speak the truth in love. Jesus began a movement fueled by the Spirit of God, a movement whose purpose is to change the face of the earth from the nightmare that it sometimes is to a vision that God has for God's people. It is a movement toward a new humanity, a resurrection movement, a resurrection of love, a resurrection of mercy, a resurrection of righteousness, a resurrection of forgiveness, a resurrection of grace. And since we have promised in baptism to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as being the way, the truth, and the life, then he must become the template for our lives. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the people of this earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule. Amen.